Good Sunday evening to you. It is time now for Center Stage. My name is Susie Jones. In tonight for Geralyn. Geralyn will be back. And as always, it is Center Stage, which kind of gives you a look at all the things or a sampling of things that are happening in the Twin Cities when it comes to arts and entertainment. And we are going to talk about a show that is currently or soon to be putting on the show Ragtime at Morse Park Theater. And we have the director, Adan Forella. Right? Our director and actor, Ashton Valentine, who plays Sarah's friend. Welcome both of you to the program tonight.
Thank
Hello,
you
thank you.
Hi. We'll go one at a time so we don't step on each other. So I'll start with the director, Adan. For people that are not familiar with the storyline of Ragtime, can you tell us about the story and what people can expect?
Sure. So it takes place roughly between 1906 and 1910 at the turn of, so when three populations of people were coming together to have to finally sort of intersperse their lives together. So we have folks who are black, we have immigrants from Eastern Europe, and then also we have the folks who have been in New York State for however many years. So it's the story of three families from each one of those groups and how they're all dealing with, one, the desire to want something different and that sort of that American dream, and the harsh realities of what it means in order for them to get there.
And I understand it also features many historical figures that actually built and shaped America at the time, J.P. Morgan,
right.
Emma Goldman, Harry Houdini. So there are characters in this that you'll recognize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the message, obviously, is what, Adan?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's about striving for something. Well, one is the whole idea of striving for something better, mm-hmm. And whether or not that's even possible. Mm-hmm. But also acceptance goodness gracious, I'm forgetting the word here, but...
That's okay.
No, it's okay. integration.
Yes.
Also equity. It also kind of talks about some of the themes that are discussed, as well as sort of the role of men and women in society and those dynamics as well, and also how no matter what happens, America itself or the United States itself was forced to have to be able to live with each other. And we're still facing that today.
We certainly are. Yeah.
You know, and so with Ragtime, the music itself was the first, I think the first artistic thing that came from the black culture and then was able to go mainstream. And that's the music that brought people together a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that, one of the reasons why the show is called Ragtime, is because it's such a specific time in our history. And it was only famous and really, really kind of forefront for a very specific amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ashton Valentine, also on our news line, playing Sarah's friend. What was it like for you, or what it's been like for you exploring, something that happened 100 years ago and obviously seeing some of the parallels today?
Well, I would say very emotional. In our most recent rehearsal, we staged the final scene of Act One. And I ended up having to take a moment with our cast members to allow some emotion to pass through. It's a very, very sad, sad moment to be on stage watching something that we're seeing happen in our daily life, people being beat to death, people who are not being served their correct rights. There's continuous injustices to minorities in our world. And so I would say overall, it's been a healing process to be able to process some of these emotions in an art form that does feel very safe. The cast that Adan has put together for us has allowed us to really explore some of those current issues that we're seeing in our society right now and how that related to and find those relatable scenarios that we're seeing, that we're portraying in our show. There's a lot of language that is very specific to the era that this show is written in that is still continuously showing up in our society now. And I would say anyone who does come and does spend that time with us in that space to be very aware of that, that what we are showing may not seem like it's happening now, but it is happening now. Mm-hmm. So it's all very real. It's all very current. It's all very, very painful to process.
Adan, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, I think she said it beautifully, you know, and then kind of going on some of the themes of the show, the folks who live in upstate New York who were, for lack of better words, the white folks in the show, they are, some of them are blissfully ignorant of the situation of the, sort of like the tolls of and the trials of black people, as well as those who are immigrants, and they're being forced to face it. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing on the other side too, where immigrants are coming from their countries hoping for a better life and then being faced that it's not as easy as it possibly could be and how hard and difficult that can be.
Mm. Has it been obviously emotional for you too, Adan? Ashton mentioned having a minute to compose herself. I imagine there's times where it touches close to home and a nerve or tender spot.
Yeah, I think that you're not human if it doesn't. But I'm somebody who I'm a Latino actor and singer, so I don't identify as black, but there are a visceral understanding of police brutality, of injustice to the people that I came from, and those things really ring true when you're putting it together on stage. And the parts that tend to make me cry more a little bit is when the folks are actually really giving themselves to the story, and I can tell that they're caring about everybody else on the stage too. So like when Ashton had taken a moment, it was actually a really beautiful turning point for the cast, because I think we were able to really start trusting each other. And that I had told Ashton too, that I'm so glad that she felt comfortable enough to talk to us about those kind of things. Mm. Because there's no way we can tell a story that has these hard themes, that has this harsh of a language, if we as a cast cannot support each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell me how long it's been in the making from, you know, decision to casting and now to product to the stage.
So I was hired in, I want to say at the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. And then we had the first auditions, the first week of November, callbacks the following week. And we had made offers kind of the week after that. And we had kind of just some ebbs and flows in casting, this, which is natural for shows. And then we started rehearsing on February 6th.
Okay. And you're at the Morris Park Theater?
So it's Morris Park Players is the company. And mm-hmm. we're actually going to be performing at Edison High School in Northeast.
And when are the shows?
So it's beginning on March 31st is our opening night, mm-hmm. and it's the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that week, all the way through the next two weekends, which I think is April 14th.
And I mean, just to not make, I know it's 16, it touches, and Ashton, you can speak to this too, but is there joy and love in it too, or is it all sort of sad and hard?
There's a lot of joy.
Okay.
you will see lots of big smiles and lots of big obnoxious, exciting movement and bright colors, and just there will be joy, I promise. there will be songs that will get the audience kind of excited and, you know, shift some of that energy. But then we will be stepping into some of those conversations that are a little bit more uncomfortable to hear. And then they'll be brought right back up. The energy will be brought right back up with a fun song. So I hope that the variance between maybe not so exciting, not so like woohoo, but then with the fun joy of Evelyn Nesbitt's song and our Henry Ford song, like there's just so much excitement that the cast can't stop moving when we're sitting on the side.
Yeah.
But when we're on stage, you know, it is a lot of fun. The music is so joyful and so solemn at the same time.
Yeah.
And it captures all of the feeling and the emotion and the transformance between, you know, all of the various moving parts that are happening at this time in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also where you'll see some of those historical figures come to play. Houdini, there's some really great, exciting scenes with him and Evelyn Nesbitt. So, yes.
Come and see it. You want people to come and see it, to experience it, the joy and the tenderness.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ashton, do you want to, I was going to say too, I think that one of the scenes that you're in is probably one of the most joyful scenes in the show, and it's that first Harlem scene. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Ooh. So there is a main character by the name of Cole House Walker, and we get to celebrate as part of the Harlem Ensemble this wonderful, mysterious, musically just insanely, deeply in love with the main character, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment at the beginning of the show where we do get to celebrate just him and have a great big, almost like dance party, really. We get to just have a great jive and lots of calling and exciting and love and excitement. And it's really the moment where we get to break loose. You might not see that happen with some of the other groups that are represented in our show, where Harlem really is kind of the joy of the show. We bring the party.
That's awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing it, you guys. Thanks for coming on. Is there anything you want to add before we let you go?
I was going to say, too, yeah. when you had asked about kind of like an emotional, my emotional journey with it, actually watching the scenes where they're insanely joyful and we're giving, especially, well, there's a lot of young Black folks in our cast, and we're giving them permission to really just enjoy who they are and live in their own skin. And you know, that's how we're able to connect the person who's playing it today to the people from the past. You know, these are the moments where they don't have to code switch, and they can really, really live in their own skin and enjoy that. And that's been emotional for me. I think that's been one of the most beautiful things to see.
Mm.
We have, you know, the cast that we put together, it's not just about talent, it's about, you know, the spirit that they bring. And, mm-hmm. you know, Ashton is one of those people who's a great example of that, that they, the first time they walked in, their spirit was so bright and open.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people you want to work with. And so I hope that that shines through, that the spirit of the people putting on the show for you to tell the story shines through, along with telling you the story.
Ah, that's great. Well, thank you guys both. It's been a wonderful interview, and I look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, have a great night. That is Adan Ferrella and Ashton Valentine, both the director and an actress, with the performance Ragtime, playing at Edison High School, Morris Park Theaters, Morris Park Players. You can find out more as well on their website. It is just about, 9:21 on WCCO. We're back with more Center Stage after this. All right. What time is it now? It is about 9:25 on a Sunday night. We are in the middle of Center Stage. We've got a guest who we have lined up for this segment. His name is Thomas Aban. He is a musician. He has a brand new, it's called an EP. I wonder what that's called. An EP. It's probably like a song, you know, like
extended play. Yeah. So I believe extended play, and then LP is long play, but
it's like an album.
It's a shorter version of an album. Usually with EPs, you have 4 or 5 songs, whereas a full length album, you've got 8, 9, 10, 12 songs or more.
Got it. So we're efforting Thomas, and we're going to talk about this brand new extended play titled, of all things, Deep Winter. It has 5 beautiful songs, and it was released just in January of this year. And Thomas is on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're going to play a little song. And this song is called Winter. Dark was the night. Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How do I say your last name?
Upon. But however you want to say it is fine by me.
Okay. Well, Upon is good. It's a nice name. So talk about, I'm interested in you. How you got your first record deal with RCA on your first album, A Sheik's Legacy, in 2017, right?
Yes.
And then after that, you left that, and you've been self-releasing your music on your own, correct?
That is correct.
Why did you do that?
Well, to put it
bluntly,
simply, I wasn't. They weren't going to let me do what I felt like I needed to do on my own music, so I could either do it the way they wanted to do it or do it the way I wanted to do it, and that was what I chose.
And how has that been since choosing your own path?
I've been able to do the music that I want to do and write how I want to write and release how I want to release. So by that metric, pretty well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that's important when you can. Talk about deep winter. I mean, we are in the middle of a deep winter. Are you inspired by the elements, or what is deep winter about for you?
I suppose that was part of the consideration. I mean, I finished recording it in February, so right before it came out. So it definitely was made during the winter, and I can't remember exactly, but a lot of the songs just kind of feel like winter, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is a feel to winter.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it can be blue and sort of dark, and other times it can be angry or joyful, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to always be like, oh, this sucks. This is such a dark place. Winter, yuck. There can be more to it than that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of sharp and vast and echoey is how I think of winter. But
where are you from, winter? Come on, you have to tell me.
I'm from Wales originally.
Where are you really?
Yeah.
You want to hear something? It's going
to
blow
your
mind.
I would love to.
Sit my hey do. Did I just say hello or something in Welsh? Sit my hey do.
I don't know. I don't speak Welsh.
Oh, you don't speak Welsh.
No, I don't. I'm sorry, but I don't know what you said.
I said hello or something or good day. Are you Welsh?
Well, yeah, by nationality, sure, yeah.
And that, anyway, you do have a distinctive accent, you know. Do you not get, do people say that to you?
Yeah, they do, well, not distinctive, but they are fond of pointing it out.
I'm fond of pointing out accents. I like to know where people are from. So you're going to play at a new music venue?
Yes.
It's called the Green Room. Where is it?
It's in Minneapolis. It's opposite the Lagoon Theater.
Oh, okay, over in Uptown. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it opens March 24th, you're going to be there?
Yeah, March 24th is the show.
Okay. Well, it's Friday. Fun to listen to the descriptions of your music. Mystical, mysterious, ethereal. Those are good words.
They are.
Well, I look forward to it. It'll be, you know, it'll be cozy. You've been there. What's the event? What's it sort of?
Yeah,
what's the feel?
I went there once. I think if I was to compare it to another club in town, it'd probably be in the same realm as like an Ice House or something like that.
Well, that's good. Well, and yeah. Playing in front of people is always awesome.
Yes, always.
Well, we invite people to come listen to you then.
Yes, please do.
Your music is both lucid and hazy. Man, I got to come see you. I'm just impressed by all these words.
Well, hopefully it will live up.
Right? I hope so. Gosh. Well, thank you for coming on, Thomas. Do you want to say anything else, sir? While you got the mic?
Yeah. Enjoy deep winter, like the actual deep winter, not my music.
Maybe both.
I don't know.
How can we find it if we want to get it and listen to it?
It's available everywhere.
Like Spotify?
Yeah, everywhere music is exploited, you can find it.
What do you think of that? Do you think that's bad or good? I mean, exploited is inherently a bad word. Speaking of words.
It just is what it is now. But, I mean, yes, it's bad to make money off people and not give them their fair share. That's bad.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get around that? I mean, is there any way to capture... Do you know what I'm saying? It's like in the old days, if you made a vinyl record and you sold 100 copies, you as the artist got 20% of the proceeds. I don't even know. I'm making this up. But now that the horse is out of the barn and everybody can get everything all the time, how does the artist get paid?
Think pitchforks and torches. And just head over to Spotify and all these other places.
But then we get to listen to your music.
Means of production, you know.
I know. Or we could go attend your show too. That would be one way of getting around the mongrels.
Just bring cash.
Throw it at your feet.
Yes, that'll do.
All right, Thomas. Have a beautiful night.
You as well.
Good to talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that is Thomas Aban. He is a singer and a musician. And if you've never been, there's a new venue called The Green Room, and you can go check him out March 24th. That'd be fun. Right now, though, it is 9:33. We're going to take another break, and then we've got more Center Stage, a little weather for you, and then we'll bring it home for the 10 o'clock hour after this on WCCO. It is Center Stage, and I'm Susie Jones in for Geraldine tonight. It is 39 degrees, as I said. It's 28, a little bit breezy, a little bit of snow still out there. Moving on in the world of theater, the History Theater is excited to present the world premiere of Diesel Heart by Brian Grandison, inspired by Melvin Carter Jr.'s graphic, honest, no-holds-bar autobiography, Diesel Heart. The adaptation to the stage will have you crying and laughing with joy. And we are happy to have with us on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Mr. Brian Grandison. Thanks for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about the play. Can you kind of give us a synopsis of what we're in for if we come to see the play?
Sure. The play is taken directly from the book. What we tried to do was give folks an idea, a bit of a journey that this man, Melvin Carter Jr., who I've known for a wonderful time, for a long time, how he became the man he's become. So sort of picking and highlighting moments from the time he was very young till through his journey as a student. He was becoming a police officer, a father, and then eventually a community organizer and working with young men in terms of trying to save young men and move them off a path that is less than hopeful and helpful into becoming sort of full-fledged members of the community.
Yeah. I did not know this, that he was in the U.S. Navy and stationed in Morocco. So he's had a lot of life experiences for being a fairly young man, would you say?
Yes. Melvin Jr. Was stationed in Morocco during the Vietnam War, and spent time there in the Navy. His father was also in the Navy, so I think there's a little, and he idolized his father, Melvin Sr. So I think there's a little bit of that, and he's trying to find himself, which a lot of people do. So the Navy was great.
How old is Melvin? Do you know?
Melvin Jr. He's in his mid-70s.
Okay.
He's in his mid-70s, yes.
And then
so there are three Melvins.
Tell me the three Melvins, yeah.
Okay, so there's Melvin Sr., who was his father, who was a jazz musician. Mm-hmm. Melvin Jr., who wrote the book Diesel Heart. And then there's Melvin III, who is the current mayor of St. Paul. And the current mayor was named, people think he's named after his father, but actually, according to his dad, he was named after his father, to honor Melvin Sr. Yes.
So Melvin, the mayor, is he in his 40s right now, or would you say?
I would, yes, that's my guess.
And this is a play, a production about not the jazz performer, but Melvin, the current mayor's father, he experienced. And he probably, I'm 60 and I grew up in Minneapolis and I grew up as they were putting in 94. So I remember as a kid in 1968 playing in the dirt down at the end of my street. And how much of this, or what part of the Rondo neighborhood being destroyed, is part of this story?
Well, the family lost their home, which was right on Rondo Avenue. The highway came straight through it. So there's in the book he talks about driving something. He would drive his kids, and when on the interstate, he would pull off at the Dale exit and pull over to the side of the road and keep his hazards on and just tell his kids, you know what, now I want you to imagine. This is where the house would be. Right now, we'd be on the front porch. And then let me move up. Now we're in this room. Now we're in my bedroom. And just describe to them what the neighborhood was like. But not only did they lose their home, but there were other businesses and pieces of property that the family owned that went away. His best friend lived across the street. And so those houses on that side of the street stayed. They just ripped up all of the houses from the odd side of Rondo Avenue all the way over to St. Anthony Avenue to create the highway. He talks about riding his bike up and down street and going up on the houses where he used to hear music. And looking in, and just blocks and blocks of houses that were empty.
So it is the story. It is called Diesel Heart. What's that about? Mm-hmm. Tell me that name. What is that? I mean, obviously, or you tell me. What does that mean?
Well, that's a nickname that Melvin sort of gave himself based off of an incident that happened with him when he joined the Navy. He was being examined by the doctors as he was going in, and one of the doctors was listening with the stethoscope to his heartbeat, and he got an odd look on his face. He called over another doctor. That doctor listened. They then called over a third doctor, and the three doctors just kept talking to themselves. He was like, whoa, 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 please, somebody tell me what's going on.
Yeah,
right? And then the first doctor said, we never heard a heart that sounded like yours. Man, that's a heart. That's a heartbeat. And I think it sounds like a diesel. And somebody else said, no, it sounds like an engine. And one guy said, no, it sounds like a diesel engine. And the final doctor said, no, you're both wrong. It sounds like a diesel engine trapped inside a Mustang chassis. And so ever since then, that's what he nicknamed his heart, his diesel heart.
Ah, and it took him, it served him well, I guess, right?
Yes. Yes, it has. This incredible journey, learning difficulties, all sorts of things, just in terms of growing up, going into the Navy, becoming a police officer. He was one of the officers who joined after a desegregation case in St. Paul in 75, I'm not sure on the year, but was a police officer, sniper, part of the SWAT team.
Wow.
Sergeant. Yeah, he became a community organizer.
Yeah.
In terms of working with young kids.
And inspired that. and inspired his own son, Melvin III, to go.
Absolutely, and his daughters, and his daughters. See, Melvin's very big on saying, you know, people mention his son. He said, but what he says, part of the reason my son does what he's able to do and why he's so cool is that he has two really cool sisters
Amen.
To educate him.
In many, in ways that only a sister can educate a young man. And so
we're all there because of that.
And tell, and the performance, it's actually, what's today? It started yesterday. So, and it goes through April 2nd, correct?
Yes.
At the History Theater, downtown St. Paul. And it's a cast of characters in addition to Melvin Carter Jr. It's different people in his lives? In his life? Yeah.
Yes. So it, it covers friends, family, all of the sort of, the book is huge. And that was, there's hundreds of people in the book. So the hardest part was sort of whittling it down. Mm. How do you tell this story in under 2 hours? And then my thing is I wanted people to be curious to with what the play offers, but also then to want to read the book itself so they can get a fuller picture.
And the book chronicles his life, just like you're describing, but the play has obviously had to be reduced to what it can get into 2 hours.
Exactly.
Is it poignant? Is it sad at times? Is it funny at times? Kind of talk about the emotional journey you go on.
Well, what's interesting is what I'll say is it's all of those. Melvin will tell you it's a spine tingling. Exciting. He offers it up as, almost as a movie trailer. What I'll say is people are moved. I hear people sniffling. There's a lot of laughter. Mm. There's a lot of love and a lot of joy in it. It really ranges the emotions. We try to cover all of that. The frustration he had with learning, frustration parents his mother particularly had in terms of trying to teach him how to learn. Just growing up in the 60s and all of what that was about. Coming of age and then, you know, coming into who he is. So what's been great is our audiences. Literally, they're laughing from the beginning. Mm. There are moments when you can hear a pin drop. Mm. I would say you can hear a pin drop on shag carpeting. It's that quiet. Wow. And so it's a hopefully it's a full, rich, theatrical ride.
Wonderful.
And it's just been a joy. Yeah.
Well, we encourage people to go see it, and thank you. Now, and I have to say this, and I don't want to offend. He's alive still, so he has, right? He's not passed, right?
Yes.
He's alive, and he's seen the show.
He has seen the show.
And he gives you the thumbs up.
I saw him today, so that was, we spend a lot of time together, so
okay,
it's important to me that he enjoy it. So.
Yes, right. Yeah. That would be important that he appreciated what was done with his work. So, yes.
Absolutely. When someone trusts you with their life, it's yours, you know, it's your responsibility, their life story.
I know. That's a heavy lift.
You know,
yeah.
It is.
Thank you for coming on. Look forward to seeing it. And again, have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
You guys have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Again, we're talking about the History Theater presenting Diesel Heart by Brian Grandison, inspired by Melvin Carter Jr. It's graphic, honest, no holds barred autobiography, Diesel Heart. And interesting to learn more about Mayor Carter's father. We will take a quick break. It is 9:52 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we are nearing the end of the big show, Center Stage, all things entertainment, as we continue to watch the Oscars. I just saw, Jonathan, that a movie that I did see, Top Gun Maverick, won something.
I have not paid attention.
Now, really look, I think they might be winning another thing on the music. See, that's an unusual, although so, I guess this is what's up.
No, this is music, but they're looking at the nominees. So they're about, it looks like they may be awarding best original song, possibly.
Sure.
That might be what they're.
It is Center Stage, and I'm Susie Jones in for Geraldine tonight. It is 39 degrees, as I said. It's 28, a little bit breezy, a little bit of snow still out there. Moving on in the world of theater, the History Theater is excited to present the world premiere of Diesel Heart by Brian Grandison, inspired by Melvin Carter Jr.'s graphic, honest, no-holds-bar autobiography, Diesel Heart. The adaptation to the stage will have you crying and laughing with joy. And we are happy to have with us on our John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Mr. Brian Grandison. Thanks for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about the play. Can you kind of give us a synopsis of what we're in for if we come to see the play?
Sure. The play is taken directly from the book. What we tried to do mm-hmm. was give folks an idea, a bit of a journey that this man, Melvin Carter Jr., who I've known for a wonderful time, for a long time, mm-hmm. How he became the man he's become. So sort of picking and highlighting moments from the time he was very young till through his journey as a student. He was becoming a police officer, a father, and then eventually a community organizer and working with young men in terms of trying to save young men and move them off a path that is less than hopeful and helpful into becoming sort of full-fledged members of the community.
Yeah. I did not know this, that he was in the U.S. Navy and stationed in Morocco. So he's had a lot of life experiences for being a fairly young man, would you say?
Yes. Melvin Jr. was stationed in Morocco during the Vietnam War, and spent time there in the Navy. His father was also in the Navy, so I think there's a little, and he idolized his father, Melvin Sr., so I think there's a little bit of that, and he's trying to find himself, which a lot of people do, so the Navy was great.
How old is Melvin? Do you know?
Melvin Jr. He's in his mid-70s.
Okay.
He's in his mid-70s, yes.
And then
so there are three Melvins.
Tell me the three Melvins, yeah.
Okay, so there's Melvin Sr., who was his father, who was a jazz musician. Mm-hmm. Melvin Jr., who wrote the book Diesel Heart. And then there's Melvin III, who is the current mayor of St. Paul. And the current mayor was named, people think he's named after his father, but actually, according to his dad, he was named after his father to honor Melvin Sr. Yeah.
So Melvin, the mayor, is he in his 40s right now, or would you say?
That's my guess.
A production about not the jazz performer, but Melvin, the current mayor's father,
what
he experienced. And he probably, I'm 60 and I grew up in Minneapolis and I grew up as they were putting in 94. So I remember as a kid in 1968 playing in the dirt down at the end of my street. And how much of this or what part of the Rondo neighborhood being destroyed is part of this story?
Well, the family lost their home, which was right on Rondo Avenue. The highway came straight through it. Mm-hmm. So there's in the book, he talks about driving something. He would drive his kids, and when on the interstate, mm-hmm. he would pull off at the Gale exit and pull over to the side of the road and keep his hazards on and just tell his kids, you know what? Now I want you to imagine this is where the house would be. Right now we'd be on the front porch. Mm. And then let me move up. Now we're in this room. Now we're in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And just describe to him what the neighborhood was like. But not only did they lose their home, but there were other businesses and pieces of property that the family owned that went away. His best friend lived across the street, and so those houses on that side of the street stayed. They just ripped up all of the houses from the odd side of Rondo Avenue all the way over to St. Anthony Avenue. To create the highway. He talks about riding his bike up and down street and going up on the houses where he used to hear music and looking in and just blocks and blocks of houses that were empty. Mm. So, yes.
So it is the story. It is called Diesel Heart. What's that about? Mm-hmm. Tell me that name. What is that? I mean, obviously, or you tell me, what does that mean?
Well, that's a nickname that Melvin sort of gave himself based off of an incident that happened with him when he joined the Navy. He was being examined by the doctors as he was going in, and one of the doctors is listening with the stethoscope to his heartbeat, and he got an odd look on his face. He called over another doctor. That doctor listened. They then called over a third doctor, and the three doctors just kept talking to themselves. He was like, whoa, 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 please, somebody, tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? And then the first doctor said, we never heard a heart that sounded like yours. Man, that's a heart. That's a heartbeat. And I think it sounds like a diesel. And somebody else said, no, it sounds an engine. And one guy said, no, it sounds like a diesel engine. And the final doctor said, no, you're both wrong. It sounds like a diesel engine trapped inside a Mustang chassis. And so ever since then, that's what he nicknamed his heart, his diesel heart.
Ah, and it took him, it served him well, I guess, right?
Yes. Yes, it has. Incredible journey, learning difficulties, all sorts of things, just in terms of growing up, going into the Navy, becoming a police officer. He was one of the officers who joined after a desegregation case in St. Paul in 75, I'm not sure on the year, but was a police officer, sniper, part of the SWAT team.
Wow.
Sergeant. Yeah, he said, and then, you know, became a community organizer.
Yeah.
In terms of working with young kids. So.
And inspired that and inspired his own son, Melvin III, to go.
Absolutely. And his daughters. And his daughters. See, Melvin's very big on saying, you know, people mention his son. He said, he says, part of the reason my son does what he's able to do and why he's so cool is that he has two really cool sisters who
amen.
Have to educate him.
Yeah. In ways that only a sister can educate a young man. And so
we're all there because of that.
And the performance, it's actually, what's today? It started yesterday. So when it goes through April 2nd, correct?
Yes.
At the History Theater, downtown St. Paul. And it's a cast of characters in addition to Melvin Carter Jr. It's different people in his lives? In his life? Yeah.
Yes. So it covers friends, family, all of the sort of... The book is huge, and that was... There's hundreds of people in the book, so... The hardest part was sort of whittling it down. Mm. How do you tell this story in under 2 hours?
Yeah.
And then my thing is I wanted people to be curious to with what the play offers, but also then to want to read the book. itself so they can get a fuller picture.
And the book chronicles his life, just like you're describing, but the play has obviously had to be reduced to what it can get into 2 hours.
Exactly.
Is it poignant? Is it sad at times? Is it funny at times? Kind of talk about the emotional journey you go on.
Well, what's interesting is what I'll say is it's all of those. Melvin will tell you it's a spine tingling. Exciting. He offers it up almost as a movie trailer. What I'll say is people are moved. I hear people sniffling. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of love and a lot of joy in it. It really ranges the emotions. We try to cover all of that. The frustration he had with learning, frustration, parents, his mother particularly had in terms of trying to teach him how to learn. Just growing up in the 60s and all of what that was about. Coming of age and then, you know, coming into who he is. So what's been great is our audiences. Literally, they're laughing from the beginning. There are moments when you can hear a pin drop. I would say you can hear a pin drop on shag carpeting. It's that quiet. Wow. And so it's a full, rich, theatrical ride.
Wonderful.
And it's just been a joy. Yeah.
Well, we encourage people to go see it, and thank you. Now, and I have to say this, and I don't want to offend. He's alive still, so he has, right? He's not passed, right?
Yes.
He's alive, and he's seen the show.
He has seen the show.
And he gives you the thumbs up.
I saw him today. So we spend a lot of time together, so
okay,
it's
good.
Important to me. That he enjoy it. So.
Yes, right. Important that he appreciated what was done with his work. So, yes.
Absolutely. When someone trusts you with their life, it's yours, you know, it's your responsibility, their life story.
I know. That's a heavy lift. You know, yeah.
It is.
Thank you for coming on. Look forward to seeing it. And again, have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Guys, have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Again, we're talking about the History Theater presenting Diesel Heart by Brian Grandison, inspired by Melvin Carter Jr. It's graphic, honest, no holds barred autobiography, Diesel Heart. And interesting to learn more about Mayor Carter's father. We will take a quick break. It is 9:52 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we are nearing the end of the big show, Center Stage, all things entertainment, as we continue to watch the Oscars. I just saw, Jonathan, that a movie that I did see, Top Gun Maverick, won something.
I have not paid attention.
Now, look, I think they might be winning another thing on the music. See, that's an unusual...
this is music, but they're looking at the nominees. So it looks like they may be awarding best original song, possibly.
Sure.
That might be what they're looking at here. And this is going to go long.
I think we're going to go way past 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, they haven't gotten to best actor, best actor. They still got best actor, best actress, and best picture, I believe. So they're still...
It might be tomorrow.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, listen, thank you tonight. I know we're coming up to the end of the program. It's always fun to be on Sunday nights. We hope Geraldine returns quickly. I do love the Oscars. I love looking at the outfits that people wear. That is one of my favorite activities. I know you mentioned, I believe, I'm not sure which actor had a jacket on that you were particularly fond
of. Samuel L. Jackson. Anything Samuel L. Jackson, I'm basically down for.
Exactly.
You know, you make a copy of it and send it to me. Even if it's a cheap copy, you can send it to me.
That happens a lot with Oscars, is someone's wearing something.
Just make it about a tenth of the price, then you might be in my ballpark.
You know how expensive it probably is.
Yes.
But it is fun to see what people are wearing, and there are some kooky outfits. I'm sure tomorrow on the morning show with Vanita, they'll go into that in depth, as well as the winners, right?
Yes. I believe they will have all the recaps for the night, because, like I said, it's probably going to go to 10:30, 10:45 the way it's going right now, because they still got the three big awards to hand out. They just gave Best Original Song to an Eastern Indian song. I don't think that's ever happened before, so congratulations to them. Historic night for them.
The Korean director also, or the...
The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once got Best Director. So Hollywood is evolving.
Slowly,
yes.
But
and so I'm all for it. You know, it expands our viewpoints, especially if we're not travelers. I'm not really a traveler. It helps expand your viewpoints if you make the effort to go and see this and see the shows and see all the stuff that they're giving out awards for. So this is a good thing.
And also, sometimes you like to go to the places that the movies were shot. So I've seen, like, movies that have featured India, which inspires me to want to go see India. We are wrapping it up. I want you to be careful out there. It's a little snowy, a little blowy. So be careful. And I'll be back here tomorrow as a news person with my news hat on. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And maybe I'll be here next. No, I won't be here next Sunday. I'm going to be out of town in Florida. God bless. Make it a great night. All right, we are nearing the end of the big show, Center Stage, All Things Entertainment, as we continue to watch the Oscars. I just saw, Jonathan, that a movie that I did see, Top Gun Maverick, won something.
I have not paid attention.
Now, look, I think they might be winning another thing on the music. See, that's an unusual...
This is music, but they're looking at the nominees. So it looks like they may be awarding Best Original Song, possibly.
Sure.
That might be what they're looking at here. And this is going to go long.
I think we're going to go way past 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, they haven't gotten to Best Actor, Best Actress. They still got Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Picture, I believe. So they're still...
It might be tomorrow.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, listen, thank you tonight. I know we're coming up to the end of the program. It's always fun to be on Sunday nights. We hope Geraldine returns quickly. I do love the Oscars. I love looking at the outfits that people wear. That is one of my favorite activities. I know you mentioned, I believe, I'm not sure which actor had a jacket on that you were particularly fond of.
Samuel L. Jackson. Anything Samuel L. Jackson, I'm basically down for.
Exactly.
You know, you make a copy of it and send it to me. Even if it's a cheap copy, you can send it to me.
That happens a lot with Oscars, is someone's wearing something.
Just make it about a tenth of the price, then you might be in my ballpark.
You know how expensive it probably is.
Yes.
But it is fun to see what people are wearing, and there are some kooky outfits. I'm sure tomorrow on the morning show with Vanita, they'll go into that in depth, as well as the winners, right?
Yes. I believe they will have all the recaps for the night, because, like I said, it's probably going to go to 10:30, 10:45 the way it's going right now, because they still got the three big awards to hand out. They just gave Best Original Song to an Eastern Indian song. I don't think that's ever happened before, so congratulations to them. Historic night for them.
The Korean director also, or the...
The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once got Best Director. So Hollywood is evolving.
Slowly,
yes.
But
and so I'm all for it. You know, it expands our viewpoints, especially if we're not travelers. I'm not really a traveler. It helps expand your viewpoints if you make the effort to go and see this and see the shows and see all the stuff that they're giving out awards for. So this is a good thing.
And also, sometimes you like to go to the places that the movies were shot. So I've seen, like, movies that have featured India, which inspires me to want to go see India. We are wrapping it up. I want you to be careful out there. It's a little snowy, a little blowy. So be careful, and I'll be back here tomorrow as a news person with my news hat on. And I hope you have a wonderful week, and maybe I'll be here next. No, I won't be here next Sunday. I'm going to be out of town in Florida. God bless. Make it a great night.